Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. As always, your drive time show. It's Thursday. Ooh, thank heavens. Tomorrow is Thursday. You know, I remembered it in the morning when I started getting some messages, then halfway through, got to work, buried myself in something that makes, that helps me make money and, make me think less about how broke I am. Then it came to me that, oh, it's my birthday. Ah, no wonder. Ah, okay. But when you're broke, you have a lot of things, you have a lot of things to worry about. Birthdays, you know, the least of your worry. Just wake up in the morning and go like, oh, it's today. Okay, so what's up? Okay, work. Here we go. Then we just pick up and leave. And today is today's discussion is going to be based on generative AI. I know, you know, AI is something that we seems to have been thrown around, AI. And I keep reminding people AI is an abbreviation that can mean two different things that I at least know of. One in agriculture, and that's artificial insemination, a whole different type of AI. But the AI that we are going to be talking about today is AI of artificial intelligence. And it turns out that's a variety of different types of AI. So to be specific today, we're going to be talking about generative AI. So upon realizing that, I came to, upon reading that, I came to realize that I don't know a thing. You know, I don't know crap about this whole AI thing. So decided to basically go on a hunt. I came across a definition of, of generative AI from IBM, you know, the guys that are alleged to have been the right connection for Microsoft's development. What is generative AI, which is sometimes referred to as Gen AI? Gen AI is artificial intelligence that can create original content such as text, image, video, audio, or software code in response to user's request or prompt. Generative AI is anything that you type in some things for it to generate an output. So your input is a prompt that you are feeding it. The output is a product that's being produced, whether it's generate a poem, you know, do my assignment for me, generate a picture or generate a video, or you feed in a video to generate a picture. Feed in a video to generate a picture, you can just take a screenshot, problem solved. Or you can feed in a picture for it to generate a video. You can just feed in, you know, a prompt like a description of what you want a specific picture to look like. I think it was around late last year to early this year. One that was trending, especially on TikTok, is to add some kind of sunset hue to your picture to make it and also. Also some kind of, like moisture to your picture, like you have just been rained over. It's all AI generated. And the pictures basically came out very awesome. So generative AI, for some reason now, has been on a collision course with creatives, because like I just pointed out, it generates pictures, videos. You can feed in a prompt for it to generate a picture or a video. You can just feed in a picture for it to generate a video from that picture. Do you have an idea how easy it is, especially on TikTok, to generate a video of you kissing someone's wife? Why would you do that? It's beyond me. Maybe it's just some bravery of a whole another level, because shotgun incoming. Now, because of the input that you are putting in, and people are very creative now. You can feed in a prompt, you can feed in a picture, and now the output that's being put out, for the most part is threatening the creative sector. But that's not the problem. The problem is the data these generative AI models are used when they are training them, for them to give you that amazing output that you get, whether it's a picture, video, or your assignment, for it to give you that output, it's trained. Now, it's trained, using information that's coming from real people like you and me, real painters, real photographers, real videographers. That's what these Gen AI models are trained on. And every time that they are trained on, and the issue now is, shape-shifting.
No, but literally, this picture in its own right, Helmut, is it's a photograph. This is a photograph. But the rainbow colors flowing out of the
wall.
Out of the paintings on the wall are literally, that's where the AI situation pops up.
Oh no, AI has gone bananas.
No, it has. No,
especially the generative one.
It's gone completely wacky.
Yeah.
If we can use that for term. But you are right on the thing, specifically that now everybody is somehow empowered. It's probably the reason as to why the graphics cards are no longer going to be made for us, the gamers who own computer, gaming computers, because NVIDIA and AMD are deciding to sell things.
Just eating up all the RAM and graphic cards.
And I get to understand now why generative AI is such a big hype over AI overall.
Mm-hmm.
AI overall, like the training that I got specifically last year, at the start of last year, was teaching you the aspects in terms of how AI gets used. So it's across the board. And also the possibilities that AI opens up specifically, let's say, in the media space for us media professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, AI across the board are like things like identifying, doing fact-checking and verifying elements regarding, let's say, a picture being used.
Yeah.
Because at that stage, one of the pictures that was shown to us in the training was the picture of coming from the ongoing, it supposedly had stopped, but it supposedly it also restarted, the Gaza conflict situation.
Yeah.
And at that stage, there was this whole social media propaganda war taking place between pro-Israel and pro-Palestine accounts specifically on X.
Yeah.
And what they started using, Helmut, was literally AI.
I think the same thing was suspected on the 3rd of January Venezuela situation.
Yeah, because
suspecting there's a lot of AI going on in there.
I mean,
a lot of content that was produced on the subject.
I mean, the strategy, the discussion of what led to COVID anti-vaccine campaigns and anti-vaccination narratives started because this was when the American CIA decided to start a whole online campaign to try and discredit the Chinese-made and the Russian-made vaccines that came out before the Americans. Now, here's the downside, dear listeners. If you've never heard me mention this before, I'm mentioning it again. This is a Reuters investigation into understanding where did the online anti-vaccination campaigns come from, because they identified these particular campaigns. They asked this question. This is a hypothesis question in research. You ask yourself, is it blue? Is it green?
Yeah.
You have to reject the possibility of green, or you have to approve or accept the possibility of green, and vice versa with blue. And that's literally what they went and did. And that's how they discovered it was something initiated by the CIA. At that stage, they were still under the Trump administration. It was under the guy, remember the guy that was planning an assassination hit on Julian Assange?
No, when it came to Julian Assange, those guys wanted Julian Assange dead, like, so bad.
But it was the CIA director.
At
the time. The guy that was appointed by Donald Trump. He was the one that literally possibly also said, yes, go and start this particular misinformation and propaganda war, against the Chinese-made and Russian-made vaccines of 2020, 2021. Now, as we're obviously seeing how things are spanning out, and this primarily all has to do with communication, because for so far, AI has been helping in what we've seen just on surface level with communication things, with creativity elements, artistic scenarios and the likes. But it also sketches a interesting talking point here on today's particular program, specifically that the video that I shared with you, Helmut, by the Shutterstock guys, and yeah. This is primarily from their perspective, because Shutterstock at one stage back in 2023 reported that they had a library of images as big as 750 million more and plus, you know, 750 million plus. That's how big their library is. Now, if you're going to ask me who is Shutterstock, Shutterstock is an online platform that can pay creators. So if you take photos, if you design certain particular images and content, you can upload it. I have a Shutterstock account. You can upload it. And you can in some way participate in the gig economy, the global gig economy in that regard. But it's obviously also based that they've got requirements and standards in terms of how you upload your content and how you meet those standards that they prescribe to you specifically, or that you've got to subscribe to as an account holder. And just yesterday we were talking about standards, Helmut. So firstly, let me share specifically the first time that I read through their standards, specifically their photography standards, because I also have a camera. And I try to see, okay, what are they looking at? What are the trends that they're looking at and the various scenarios? So
at ShopRite, you get nothing but the best at prices you can trust. That means having a wide range of exclusive quality brands to choose from. Find everything you need when you shop our trusted range and get 750 mils Rite brand sunflower seed oil, $29.99, and 3 kg Rite brand macaroni for $59.99. Your everyday essentials from top quality brands all in one place. Offers valid until 22 February 2026. Only at ShopRite.
Welcome back. Perfect timing for that ad.
Literally perfect timing. Yeah. So yeah. So since we've done standards yesterday and how impactful standards can be, Helmut, the platform itself shows you the trends in terms of images and the kinds of content that they want, since it's a platform also that graphic designers or creative people can also apply to,
yeah.
And predominantly photographers, because it started out as a photography platform. It's the same like Getty Images and who's the other one that also Getty Images, and there's another digital platform that also where you can also sell your photographs through. Photographs of events, photographs of famous places, famous people, significant landmarks, stuff like that. And these are photos that you would find, for example, like in travel magazines or travel websites or in other particular digital places right now. You know, and you would consider it, for example, like this photo here on this library page.
Yeah.
No, just this photo.
It's a picture of a woman.
Yeah. Just to describe it to the listeners, it's a picture of a woman. Now, that is AI generated. This is generative AI. Just look at her face. You will obviously find telltale signs in terms of why it is generative AI. Try to read the book cover here, Helmut. Try to see if you can read the book cover. What's on the book cover?
Nope.
You can't.
Yeah.
Because that's also the telltale signs of what AI does. And sometimes you've got to look for things in the background that are fuzzy, like out of focus, just not making sense, you know, in terms of the background looking a bit weird. And in many scenarios, when you try to, you know, identify these particular telltale signs of generative AI, and this is generative AI, for example, this is generative AI done in the form of a photograph of a woman standing with a book that is supposed to look like a medical book.
Yeah.
And she's smiling, palm outstretched. That's the prompt you obviously would type into the AI prompting field to generate the content that you wish to get. And then you go from there. Now, it sounds a lot cheaper than going to hire a model, having the model have the...
Hold the book,
have the perfect complexion, meaning she should not have makeup on.
Yeah.
The perfect complexion. Just look how pretty that face is, Helmut.
Super smooth.
Super smooth. Absolutely.
Way too smooth.
Wrinkle-less, perfect skin.
Yeah.
And I know us humans, you would either see the makeup or you would either see the nature.
Yeah.
So then you get that scenario. And then finally, the discussion is, okay, so how often can you generate this particular image? Because I know, and you know, we both know that there's a limit to how many free uses you have on generative AI accounts.
Yeah.
So then they start charging you, which then becomes the like ChatGPT's, is it $100 a month to use that? Because obviously they're trying to recuperate the cost. And one thing that I've discovered, which the CEO of Ryanair confirmed in response to Elon Musk regarding Starlink on the Ryanair airplanes, is that, you know, customers will use the thing when they see it's free. But customers will also make a judgment call when it comes to having to stay offline from the internet for an hour, maximum 2 hours. They will live with it.
Yeah.
They won't die. If the internet is off for 1 hour, if they know the internet is not off, is off for just 1 or 2 hours,
yeah,
they will not die. So they will pay the fee, stay in economy class, and go the particular perspective. But we're not going to talk about the trends of AI. We're talking about generative AI and creativity.
Yeah.
Now, this is but one side of creativity, Hamoud. This particular aspect of generating pictures, generating images. The nice thing is, for example, international platforms like Shutterstock realize that they still have to be economically viable. They still wish to make sure that they've got a place to a role to play in the creative market. Because here's the thing, Ahmed. There was a guy I read about before X, before Twitter became X, when there was still Twitter, and he shared there. That's the reason that motivated me to open up a Shutterstock account. The guy explained, because he's an American, obviously, he lost his job like at the start of the week, and then something, somewhere, someone advised him, if you have a camera, go start taking photos, start uploading your photos onto this platform, the Shutterstock platform, and start selling your photos. No, the thing is, you upload, and people have to see what you're uploading, and they would select and buy from there. So it's literally a digital trade platform. One side people uploading photos, other side people buying these photos, photos that they need. Now, it depends on how the photos look like. This can be an up-close photo of this, what do you call this thing that I'm holding in my hand?
I have no idea. Microphone.
This microphone cap situation.
Microphone mattress.
Mattress? I would say sponge.
What, it's a sponge? Okay, yeah.
A mattress is not a sponge, Hamoud. Neither is a sponge a mattress. But yeah, this.
They're the same. They're both squishy.
Okay, so this microphone mattress situation, I know Jex would have been turning now wherever he's listening to us going like, these guys are just butchering the terms.
I know.
Listen, Jex, sorry, man. The one's got law in him. The other one's got journalism and marketing in him. We don't know the technical term for this. I would call it a muffler, but then it would also sound weird.
Mm.
But yeah, so this spongy thing here in front of us with the Eagle FM, now it depends if you take a up close photo, you know, to sort of like give you, it's those photos that you sometimes find free to use on platforms of just a microphone and this thing.
Yeah.
Or the person in front of the microphone and the photo is taken from behind the person's head. Those kind of photos. Now, you can basically now use, because ChatGPT went and bought a whole bunch. Oh, no. Not just ChatGPT. Shutterstock has a library of these models. So it's ChatGPT.
So they basically archive the pictures that are being sold.
It's there. It's a library.
Yeah.
Think of it as a library, which is an archive.
Yeah.
But think also of the platform of, because I wrote the article from the particular webinar that they held. And what was explained was literally that they now give the creators now, meaning the artistics, those few of us, the opportunity to select from various AI models. So this can be a Google AI, generative AI function. Is it Gemini? Google Gemini. Because Google has got the Gemini. They've got Notebook. Copilot. No, my Copilot is Microsoft.
Oh, yeah. Copilot is Microsoft.
And Copilot is supposed to be like some sort of a digital companion on your computer. which is a bit weird because...
Yeah, I mean, I went to bed one day, woke up the next day, and that thing was in Microsoft, I mean, my Microsoft, off, a Microsoft Word on my phone. Is Copilot.
But here's the downside. Microsoft obviously has a clear ick against Google because Google has a lot of functions associated just. They give you a free email address and then a lot of functions around it because if you already have an Android phone, you automatic, your phone is automatically running smoothly with anything Google.
Yeah.
And anything Samsung as well. So, and that's also if you've got a Samsung phone. So, Microsoft is not always as compatible as it wants to be with Android systems and Android platforms. But they've conformed. They've obviously, done their thing in terms of standardizing to Android platforms.
Keeping up with the times.
But the aim here is, Helmut, also is that as we know that there's a lot of generative AI developments happening from various particular companies in the US, a central sort of like a platform like Shutterstock, which is a marketplace facilitator, now is also acting as a generative AI facilitator. So they've got access to the various models that have generative AI functionalities from ChatGPT to Google Gemini to I think Anthropic has one. And then there is another one that I discovered only for the first time during that particular discussion of the webinar. I was like, is there really so little we the rest of the world know about the various technological developments happening when it comes to the tech development coming up? Because we only hear of Anthropic, ChatGPT, Meta's AI, Google's AI platforms, Microsoft's AI, and then you start hearing there are other smaller AI players who also use generative AI functions.
I think at this point the AI is it's like a rush, it's more of a race, the same way that there was a gold rush or something like that, because everyone wants a piece because it's very 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 profitable right now.
And the obvious question is profitable to who?
Not to the users. I think that's the part that that Shutterstock actually is. You can give them credit because they are following. They are taking an approach that a lot of Gen AI, model companies don't want. It's not that they don't know it; they just don't want to take that route because it costs a lot of money.
Plus, they obviously also realize it. There is sort of like a resistance to AI use in creativity.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I know you and I already identified it because we already showed the negatives in this photo.
Yeah. Now, I think this is one of those, before you even dive into this whole Gen AI or just AI in general as a discussion, the first question that will always pop up, especially if you are having this discussion from an African perspective, is where are we in this race? And then it becomes very painful to realize that, DeepSeek came out of Asia.
Came out of China, not Asia.
Yeah,
China.
DeepSeek came out of China.
Yeah,
and China has this tendency of pretending like they are not doing something, and when something pops up, it's already competing with the big guys. How they do that, I have no idea, because DeepSeek was not it's not something that was heard of. We woke up one day, then DeepSeek was making OpenAI run for their money.
And it's not just that they were making OpenAI run for their money. DeepSeek's whole idea, firstly, was to see...
at a fraction of the price.
Exactly. Can we do the same thing at a fraction of the price? Now, obviously, what had been feeding DeepSeek's particular development help with... not their development, but what DeepSeek has literally now fed into the Chinese tech space was primarily the ability for the rest of the Chinese tech sector to go and ask themselves, do we need to operate on the financing that OpenAI, Anthropic, and all the other particular AI companies demand from their let me call it their investment ecosystems.
Yeah.
Do we need to operate on their scale, demanding for the amount of money that they are pro- uh, developing or that they are wish to operate on? Or do we need to be within a sustainable framework? Now, here's the sustainable framework discussion. Back in 2024, when I went to Russia, AI popped up there. Yeah, I did do a recording, but, you know, I mean, the English between Russian speaking, the person asking the question and the English between the Chinese guy answering the question, you know, it's, to me, Dwight would sound literally like a Shakespeare in that regard, because this one is coming with an accent, that one is coming with another accent. Yeah. And how they were understanding each other there in front in at that Atom Expo that was held there in Sochi, I was just bewildered. But anyway, this was under the discussion of nuclear energy, management of nuclear reactors, yeah, and how the latest technological trends feed into it. In 2024, remember, we at the start of that year, we were still like, you know, it's AI, you know, it's still there, it's behind the mountain, yeah, mentality. Okay, before that outbreak creeps up. The downside there is that the Chinese had already been using AI to help them manage the reactors of nuclear power stations.
Commercial break.
At ShopRite, you get nothing but the best at prices you can trust. That means having a wide range of exclusive quality brands to choose from. Find everything you need when you shop our trusted range and get 2 kg Rite brand white sugar, $39.99, and 500 grams Rite brand 40% fat bread spread for $9.99 each. Your everyday essentials from top quality brands all in one place. Offers valid until 22 February 2026. Only at ShopRite.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Kadatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Kadatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm,
and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. It's just a minute past the hour of 5. This is a home run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. You go.
So, just on the aspect of AI. So, when the Russian moderator asked the Chinese power station representatives, so how do they balance rolling out AI and still doing, you know, still being able to
being safe for one?
Yeah, being safe for one. Yeah, yeah. And the Chinese technical expert just outlined specifically. Listen, how they apply AI technology in the management of a nuclear power station is primarily that it functions as an extra set of eyes, an extra business intelligence function. Now, for us that don't know of the subject matter of business intelligence. So, Helmut, there is literally a function. Our one colleague has done this course. It's something that is offered, for example, like at NUST. Not to promote NUS, but just to highlight where this function comes from, but it's in an IT sense, promoted more in an IT sense than in an actual, financial technology sense. It has to do with data analysis at its core.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you get data? You get data obviously from a source or from the particular function that generates the data. And the AI helps with monitoring of levels, for example, for care and maintenance, for when things need to be improved or when a particular fuel cell is being depleted. And it highlights, you know, just take note that you need to replace this particular fuel cell or that particular core and get the new particular replacement or new fuel going.
Mm-hmm.
And it speeds up the monitoring and evaluation process specifically or significantly because it allows the technical staff and the engineers to literally concentrate on other areas, you know, fully, while they know that the monitoring process is being handled by this AI platform. Now, we obviously started for today's program on a creativity element.
Yeah.
But you can literally also see the creativity in a technical sphere like nuclear power, the nuclear power sector.
Yeah.
Because it gives a functionality where you thought a functionality could not function. So, in according to Shutterstock, and this is a report that they generated, I think, back in last year, where they highlighted in the sort of like the executive summary of this report, a new creative standard, they state that one of the huge benefits of AI is that it's leveled the playing field, and we are all on ground zero, so we need to work together to figure it out. True on the last part. The ground zero, also true.
Yeah.
Because primarily now, if you were on a Van Gogh or on a Rembrandt or on a Picasso or on a Michelangelo level, now we are all starting at zero. Some guys were literally pushed back to zero. Some of us are starting from zero. We were at the minus levels. We are now qualifying. You know, now we can all go, wow, now it's just my idea. Now I don't have to worry about how my hand-eye coordination continuously lets me down.
I don't have to master different ways of mixing different types of paint.
That too. So now it's everybody's at zero. Look, Helmut, you will still get the guys that do things manually. You will still get the guys who are perfectionists. And they will be the dying breed because they are all older people. It's the joke that some people sometimes make of, okay, like me and my sister likes to make. If you've never grown up if you've never been raised by a parent that was a baby boomer, you know, you wouldn't know what character building technically is. Baby boomers would ask you questions like, are you a man? You know, or are you sure you've got what it takes?
Not just that, you know, the first
questions like that, you know.
The first question would be, what is depression?
You'll even be told, what are you doing? Go and work outside. And you said, no, I need to find my inner peace. And then I'll go like, well, I will help you with your mental health. Do you see this leather belt that has raised you for 12 years?
Yep.
It can quickly give you the factory settings that you need.
Uh-huh.
So that you run on automatically.
Go out there and do what I'm telling you to go and do.
So on that particular scenario, using now the generational discussion, you would still find the perfectionists who would be from the older generation. So I'm talking about Gen X guys before me, the millennials, which you and I fall under. And then obviously, as technology becomes a lot more convenient, younger generations are easily tap into it.
Yeah.
So what are we looking into currently? So when you look at the developments that platforms like Shutterstock, Canva, which is the other design platform, which also has a generative AI function. But Canva also solves the graphic design and creativity element also by, they've literally thrown the whole Adobe business upside down. Adobe had a monopoly up until 2015.
They really did have a monopoly.
Yeah, and it was an ugly monopoly, Helmut. Paying for a license, $5,000 every year, at the end of a year, is ridiculous. A license. Paying for a license every year, is ridiculous. Okay.
The subscription model it seems to be what's being adopted by a lot of businesses because, poorly, it's some type of infinite money glitch, because if something is bought once, you know they are not going to keep paying for it. You are not going to be able to make money off of it again.
Yes.
But if it's just rented or subscribed to, then you can just
create
different levels, different tiers of the very same product. I mean, if you pay for this one, you get 5 ads per minute. But if you pay for this one, you only get one.
Ad free, or you exactly. Or you get like one.
Yeah, and then the quality is 720, 1080, 4K.
But who actually cares? Because in that scenario, you would just be saying, my internet works. I just want to make sure that the thing works on my computer.
Yeah.
Now, here's the other discussion also. There's also advanced discussions where you won't be supposedly, for us that are gamers, that play video games,
mm-hmm.
we don't own the games.
No.
That's why remember the talk we had last year of the right to repair?
Yeah.
Which was also spawned into the right to own. So this means people that bought computer programs, specifically computer programs, because a game is a computer program, who bought computer programs like video games, now are challenging, for example, like in UK courts or was it in a specific American court, the right to own. So if you're the developer, if you cut off support and updates and patches, you should be able to, after a specific lifespan of the product, put the code, the source code of the game, onto the internet for free. So that fans of the game still continue providing closed game hosting scenarios and events, and that they just continually, you know, carry their particular hobby going forward. And there's a considerable amount of video game players, specifically computer video game players, who are programmers themselves. Now, the video game companies know that a video game is intellectual property. The programmers all know what intellectual property is. The video game companies are holding out against they're technically, you know, resisting against the demands of the right to own.
To own, yeah.
Specifically because the right to own says, but if I've paid for a copy of a video game helmet,
then it's mine.
Then I own it. I downloaded it into my computer and I own the particular thing. If the video game company decides to disconnect the servers, there should be an opportunity, a port. They call it usually like a plug-in port in programming.
Yeah.
So a plug-in port would be like you thinking of that plug behind you in the wall. That's a port.
Like the outlet.
Yeah. But think of it now as like you've got this whole program and it's got like add-on features, meaning I can add a cap.
Yeah.
I can add a jacket. I can add shoes. Stuff like that, you know, in terms of just add-on features.
Yeah.
So, in the realm specifically of what's going on, the AI guys are obviously driving the licensing. The you don't own, but we will give you access for a fee to your...
For this period of time.
For your ideas.
You can get a month, in 3, 6 months, a year.
Now, that's the disappointing side specifically of the Shutterstock guys, because they're obviously tapping into that same business model.
Yeah.
That business model has been prone to only work for business-to-business ventures. Meaning, if you're a business, sure, in Namibian dollars, if you can afford the ChatGPT premium account at 4,000 Namibian, it's 4,000, yeah, 4,000 Namibian dollars, no, 3,600 to be exact.
What the heck am I generating with that price? Heaven?
But it apparently gives you like unlimited, what you call it? Processing to generate unique particular things, and that whatever you're generating,
look, if I'm running a company,
it's like closed off and it's like a separate, you know, like library of Helmut who produce all these things on his premium account version of ChatGPT at $3,600 Namibian dollars a month, then no one can access your content. But if you're like Dwight that's running around on ChatGPT basic, just generating any willy-nilly situations and weird images and stuff,
yeah,
that can be accessible on the internet, even through Google search. Because it can be sourced out, meaning you don't own what you're there playing around with.
Yeah.
So it presents itself with interesting challenges, because the Shutterstock guys indicate that the moment you use their platform, you can own your work. Your work will be archived to your particular account, but it makes things a little bit tricky, because now this means true artists are no longer going to practice.
I think that's one of those at the Q&A end of the video that you sent me. That's one of those questions that that the gentleman Carl Roberts, who is a creative strategy in the Inside team. That's one of the questions he was asked, like, what's the relevance, seeing how Gen AI keeps getting better by the day in terms of creative works?
Yeah.
And it's getting better because it's trained based on real artists like you and me, like real people, artists like you and me are producing their works are being used to train these Gen AIs. The question he was asked was, is this going to, you know, doesn't this render like the artist like obsolete? And his response was, not really, because you have to understand that, a lot of, GenAI tools are coming out every day. That means, training is going to be needed. And, training is going to be, now that's where a real artist now comes in. That means GenAI is always going to, going to constantly need, real artistic work for them to train, for them to train on, mm. or for these companies to train their AI model, their Gen AI models on, so that they can put out the, the output that is a, that's needed by users at that particular time.
Mm.
My understanding of that is, you can, Gen AI training is not going to be just be a once off thing. Picture we're in the 1940s and 50s, and the music that was being listened then. If you trained AI, on that type of music, and then just cut it off from, cut it off from a real artist in the world, you'd still be listening to 1940s music.
Yeah.
How many people listen to that genre of music anyway?
Yeah,
they are not a lot. So music have changed from the 1940s to today. So that's the type of change that Gen AI will have to keep up with. And this is going to go on for a very long time until they get maybe to a point of using Gen AI, information to train another Gen AI. But the thing is, that will always be determined by what does the consumer want.
Mm.
Yeah,
it's also a good thing that you're highlighting, because Roberts did also indicate at the start of the webinar that basically, the artists would not have to worry about, for example, like sloppy, because there's now this new term in the internet, specifically because of game design, story writing, and also for scripts, and also for CGI that you find like in movies that have a lot of special effects going for them.
Yeah.
They call it AI slop.
Yeah.
Now, AI slop is, and I'm someone that's anti-AI slop, meaning try to refine the thing.
Yeah.
If you're going to use electronic generated, let's say special effects in a movie,
mm-hmm.
Like an explosion or an action sequence,
yeah.
at least try to refine the how you are using the resource in the film, the filming. Now,
the producers of Who Killed Captain Alex didn't care about any of that.
Okay, Helmut. Let's just say, like in that Ugandan scenario,
they didn't care about the English. They didn't care about none of it.
They didn't care about storyline. They didn't care about storyboard, script, nothing. People were just acting on instinct. Yeah. Yeah, and someone's 15-year-old, no, 10-year-old, because that's not a 15-year-old's artistic skill. That's more like an 8-year-old. Someone's 8-year-old was allowed to interact with the graphics machine.
The guys were throwing out sarcasm in the middle of a war zone. Drop the bomb, man.
So, when we're looking at that particular scenario, all of that, let's take Captain Alex.
Mm.
Let's take that whole movie. It can literally be reenacted from start to finish with Gen AI.
Yeah.
Even the real life actors, because the source material, which is the movie, which is now in digital format, exists, and anyone can let's just say repolish it through Gen AI. And when the repolishing comes out, you'll see a little bit of some weird things, but the core things will still exist. For example, like the characters, the character names, and obviously the platform or the model, the Gen AI model, will struggle with the Ugandan English, which is a significant element.
Yeah, that's my favorite part.
Yeah. So when that talking point pops up, people immediately observe. When you show them that reproduction through being pulled through an AI model for polishing and literally just improving on
refining it.
Everything visually, improving on everything visually. Many people would be unhappy because of the AI slop. And they would literally be like you, someone who would then be considered a connoisseur of the original thing, no matter how badly that thing was written, no matter how badly the
the filming, what's that thing's name? The camera functions, the camera work. It's another glorified name for filming. The cinematography.
Oh boy.
No matter how the cinema, I literally had to go look up what's the difference between a normal camera person, mm-hmm. a cinematographer, a videographer, that's the other name, and just a person with a camera. They're literally all the same person. It's just how you deploy the same person and in which particular sector or field of where a camera is used. So, how the videography and the cinematography takes place, because a videographer and a cinematographer are literally the same kind of cameraman, how it takes place, how the shots were taken, and all that, because the frames won't change, the shots won't change. However, the content that's already in the shots would be polished up. That's what AI would do because it's in a digital format. But people who have seen the original, like you, and the shots that I've seen myself, mm-hmm. That are used for memes, we would literally be unhappy because of what the AI does to the original thing. You would actually be...
They ruined it.
Not ruining it even. You would literally see the plastic. I use the word plastic because when plastic came out in the 70s and the 60s, there was this term that my mom or that the grandparents, the lost generation people, kept using for the children of the baby boomers, these plastic kids, because nylon was a thing.
Yeah.
Even though nylon is a pretty old technology from the 40s, and nylon only started showing up like in places in Southern Africa, like from the 60s to the 70s, because you found nylon clothing, you know, swim shorts and specific t-shirts and, certain kinds of this plastic fire fabric used in everyday clothing.
Yeah.
So there was this term that, according to my mother, that the older generation people had for their grandkids, the nylon generation. They would call them the nylon generation. That's not us, Kama.
So every generation is basically laughed at when they are young.
Yeah, or when they were a baby and didn't, you didn't pay attention to what the grown-ups were saying.
So they're more often associated with what's trending at the time.
Exactly.
Like you have a Gen Z or .com generation and stuff like that.
Stuff like that, yeah. So but they will use another name associated to the trend, not say Gen Z or Gen X or Millennial. Mm-hmm. They would say something else, you know. Yeah. For example, you would then call people that are today like 10 years old, you would call them the Labubu generation.
Labubu?
I don't know what a Labubu. Don't ask me, Hamoud. I don't know. I just heard about Labubu front and back. They're in China. I was like, what are these things, Labubus? And then lo and behold,
very Western.
And then lo and behold, they're like 21-year-old ladies here in Namibia,
yeah,
on university,
yeah,
who are supposedly Labubu fans, and still till the day I don't know where this thing comes from. I remember the Pokemon stuff. I remember the Digimon craze that happened here in Namibia. People's kids that were crazy about Digimon, and then the one episode of Digimon that I watched with my younger brother was like, so all eight those one characters were beaten up by one bad character. And then I sat there going like, that fight doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. Look, when it comes to technology and the creative industry, the first story I came across of the technology and technology and the creative, so more like a not being in good terms, was the story of Jet Li and how he was, in an interview, he pointed out that he had to turn down a part in the Matrix movie when it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, it's the one of 2 years back.
It must be.
The Matrix movie of 2 years back. 2023 or 2024?
The old one. Like, because there was the Matrix, there was a Revolution, then you have the Reloaded. Now those ones are just two. I haven't even watched all of them.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, he said to have turned down a role in one of the Matrix movies because, the producers of the movie wanted him to do all his, because he's a martial artist. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he knows kung fu, not just in movies, although the movie is a little too exaggerated, but he's a black belt in that, in that martial arts form. Now, the producers of the movie wanted him to sort of like choreograph all his kung fu moves so that they can digitize them.
Ah.
Yeah. Then he was like, yeah, nope, thank you.
It's the, what do they call it? They call it green screening, but it's actually the other thing that the FIFA game kept doing. You remember when they record the movements.
Like all the celebration moves that's associated with certain players.
Yeah, and even like the dribbling. You know when you always see the sort of like the loading screen?
Yeah.
When you played FIFA. And you would see the footballer that's on the cover of the game,
yeah,
doing all those moves, the dribbling and the running and all those activities and even the likenesses.
They like Mortal Kombat type. So you can just take that and then apply it to games like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. So that technology already existed. Now green screening was when they had to use the CGI.
Yeah.
You know, they would automatically fill in the space, which sounds like an AI technology,
yeah,
but they would automatically fill in the space behind you of, let's say, the background, a forest and various kinds of scenarios in the background of the actor.
Yeah.
But it was something else. Remember when they would wear a black suit?
Yeah.
And it's only the face that is not covered.
Yeah.
And then it would have certain particular, like, almost like a skeleton.
Some kind of lights or dots, yeah, that are basically scattered all over the body.
And those lights and dots literally were sensors. So the computer program reads you based upon the movements you're making. So your illustration, when you're, like, walking and acting out the moves.
Oh, jumping, running and stuff.
On the computer screen would look like a stick man. Because you would also have, like, the lights and faces. So then all they do is they record your face. Stick your face in production and in editing onto that stick man, and then they fill out the function of you. So technically, we can already say that in the movie production world that the AI was already there, the generative AI component.
Yeah, it was just less digital than it is now.
Or let's say it was a lot more controlled than it is right now. Because here's the thing, Ahmed. Now you can go and take literally, who killed Captain Alex, feed it into any AI model right now and ask them, please polish this up and make it look good.
Yeah.
It'll take a little bit longer, but that AI will actually give you a finished product. Whereas back then, when Jet Li was interviewed about that and he said, no, I don't want to choreograph
all my
things.
Moves.
Because he knew what would happen. And this is the other particular foundational argument, specifically the stealing of content, what AI does. Because AI steals content. And you just explained it now. What Robert's explained. They use the basis of existing creative works to train the models. So that means if you gave Shutterstock for its library, let's say you used Adobe and you are someone that's very good with freehand, Helmut. So freehand is you draw anything that's in your mind. You draw it out. You color it in, you bring it to life with its lovely illustration, its 3D presentation, because you can be taught how to draw in 3D.
On a computer?
No. By hand.
Oh, drawing in 3D, but yeah.
Yeah, you can be taught how to draw in 3D.
The school I went to, offered a subject which was non-promotional, known as CAPA. That's an abbreviation for Creative and Performing Arts.
Yeah.
That's where you learn how to draw different things. And at the end of the day, you will have to specialize as to what exactly are you interested in terms of, in terms of images.
Yeah.
Do you want to draw people or terrains or animals or, go with the abstract, concepts and stuff?
Mm.
You can be trained to draw that.
And in many scenarios, even though there are the digital tools to use it, the basics that always forms part of training is that you get first taught how to do the baby steps,
how to do the basics,
the various basics. So what are the basics to drawing a real life person?
what are the basics to drawing from a picture, or the basics to drawing from for an architectural purpose, you know, that kind of visualization, which they now call, which is the funny thing, rendering. Because they rendered an image through a specific computer program. There's this lovely little Facebook account that I follow. Now, I've got this particular sort of like fascination, Helmut, with urban design and with sort of like architectural works, because architectural works and urban design together can literally make a urban settlement or an urban place a very beautiful physical installation in the real life world.
Yeah.
And it's a complete different scenario from looking at a picture on a computer screen and then thinking, oh, that's art. But you can also see art specifically being manifested, for example, in a literal commercial sense, meaning a building that's constructed and the materials used, and specifically how this presentation of the building then comes together afterwards, and it just looks good to look at. Now, Cal Roberts highlighted there at the start of that talk, and I'm just repeating that sentence, that the AI models continuously learn from the previous works that you did. Even though there are various models that you have access to use and to literally generate creative works from, the AI models primarily still try to improve from what you did last time.
Yeah.
So if you went and drew a stick man that, and you thought you were being, you know, Picasso-like, the AI model would improve from your stick man if you go and draw the same stick man again, and it'll just, voila, act like a magic wand and then improve on the image itself. Now, here's the particular scenario that I find puzzling, Hamoud. You and I know that when it comes to the creative works, why creative works exist today in such abundance is that there's two scenarios. Either one, the person is training, but training for free, and training to have fun, meaning that this action of drawing and being creative is like second nature, or the person is using the platform, they're a trained person already, they've got the skills behind them, they are doing this for money. They're doing this to finish a task, to finish a job, to finish a work. Under no particular illusion am I saying that in the creative space, AI should be ignored, because now AI is more pervasive, because you find it even in your WhatsApp chats with AI.
It's everywhere.
With Meta's AI. However, the decision is still up to you whether or not to use the thing or not. Whether you wish to open up a Canva account and, you know, produce your birthday cards for your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your loved ones, or you wish to lay out a magazine design or even a menu, or whether you wish to just create a picture from pure scratch, just from a prompt describing a scenario and just from scratch. So yeah, it's up to anyone in that scenario.
And on the creative part of, you know, when you look at it from the creative part of things, you know, now that you described how, you know, how CGI was used to basically get all those moves that we so enjoy in our video games from real people into moves that we like to pull off when you're playing FIFA or you're playing, you know, racing games or whatever type of game that you're playing. I'm just, you know, sitting here thinking, okay, so obviously at any given time, consumers are going to want, you know, some changes to their characters.
True.
Yeah. And to get those changes, you must, basically, you know, keep updating the sort of like, more like keep training. Yeah. So that you can put out the output that is, you know, the output that is desired at that particular time. Anyone that uses a social media platform like TikTok knows just how many different templates you know, a template can come out now, whether it's AI or it's just a normal template can come out now and then just trend for a month or two. Then it dies off.
Yeah.
That means users, I mean, well, content creators are not using that template anymore. A new one is needed. So, a new one is going to come out and then it will trend again and then it goes. So that means, templates are always going to come up. There's not just one template that will be created and then creators will use that template for years on end. It's going to get boring. So, since, new templates or new outputs are going to be desired by the end user every time, that means, new knowledge of the desired output will have to be acquired by the generative AI all the time. And that's where the creatives now comes in.
Yeah.
You take the creative out of the equation. There is no new, there is no new knowledge about what's going on in the real world with regards to the desired output of the, on the end user side of the Gen AI. If that knowledge is not in the equation because of the absence of the creative, what's going to happen is that the AI will just rely on the ancient trained knowledge it has. And the users will, with time they'll just get boring and then, no one's going to pay that ridiculous amount of money per year to use something that they've been, to use the same thing over and over again.
And it's an interesting thing, Helmut, that you also highlight there because the part of this particular report from Shutterstock's own particular creative director, Drew Weigen, it's not completely scientific in terms of how he describes, looking into the trends, because he highlights a scenario of, the audience does not care about how the image was made or crafted.
Yeah.
Which is actually a little bit of an overstatement because here's the thing where many art consumers are very they are very
they have an eye for
precision.
Yeah, for precision. And that's, I've come to learn that I always make fun, I always make fun of my friends, like one of them. She's very good at cooking.
Yeah.
And it seems like wherever we go, she has something to say about this food is not having this. I'm like, oh, see, that's why I don't want to learn how to cook.
But you should learn, Amut.
Yeah, look, I don't want to walk into any eating establishment and see something wrong with the plate. I just want to enjoy my food. And I was like, no, the salt is this, this ingredient is missing, that is, it's nice, but it would have been nice if it, I'm like, oh, come on, just eat the food.
Not always, Amut. Let me give you an example.
Yeah.
You eat maize meal, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter which brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine a scenario where you have five maize meal chefs or cooks, five maize meal chefs or cooks.
Yeah.
And each chef makes the maize meal different.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're just describing the situation I've been through.
Because that's literally what that friend of yours is highlighting.
Right?
Huh?
I'm living with the Zambezians, right? One time I'm living with Zambezians and the pup is strong enough to knock down Goliath. Now, then I move in to start living with the Shuambo speakers.
Why are we making this thing tribal? Yeah.
Look.
Here on Eagle FM, we're making things tribal.
Yeah, look.
Just around porridge.
Yeah, I know. Look, now I'm in a Shuambo dominated environment.
Yeah.
And, I'm still in my transition period, man.
Transition? You're still recovering, you're explaining from the Zambezian.
Yeah, English. Like I needed an angle grinder to cut the Zambezi pub. Now I'm at that point where.
We are really going to get beaten up now.
That's uncalled for. Franz and Abigail will be here shortly. Look.
They'll actually send all the witchcraft potentials after us.
Good thing, Samakavango. You're the one in trouble. I'm good. there are different ways of cooking, the same type of food from the same type of ingredients. Yeah, I get it.
So it's in that scenario that friend of yours was looking at the food. Now,
if you eat the food long enough, you will start becoming picky, meaning the variations of this particular food.
Yeah.
So it could be someone bakes a pizza differently over there versus over here, and your favorite spot is a third spot, which you are benchmarking everyone against.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the heart of this, AI is taking away the benchmarking element and even that aspect of differentiation between you know, who's a better artist with this and a better artist with that and a better artist with that.
Mm.
But here's the big problem. Yes, you would get creative guys that would just take a bunch of photos, take the same photos of what they took, put it in the AI, generative AI platform, and ask the AI platform, please put them all together in the same frame.
Mm-hmm.
But use this and use that and use this scenario. Like, for example, in that report, did you see the page 3 with all the different people? The one person is hanging through the wall, the other person is sitting against the wall.
Yeah.
But you can see that they were different photos taken from different positions of different people doing different things in the photos, and all the photos were put together as one massive photo.
Yeah, there's one where, you know, there's one that was generated by taking a picture of a woman.
Mm.
Yeah. From a picture of a woman, I think she was putting on a trouser and, you know, a trouser and a shirt. Like, you know.
Getting dressed.
Tight jeans. But then they took, a picture of a dress.
Why would you mention the dress?
And then combined the two.
Yeah.
The thing is, the Gen AI made it look like that lady was, in her original picture was wearing that dress.
Yeah. That too.
So you just go on Alibaba, AliExpress, then you just look up different types of clothes, and then you take your own picture and then lump the two together to make yourself look like you're putting on that outfit.
Okay. The best I've seen so far is literally a scam on Instagram.
No kidding.
The Sudanese girl.
Oh boy.
What's her name? Something Kerr or she doesn't even exist. Okay, she's beautiful, but she doesn't even exist.
It's all generated. It's
all Gen AI. But before we continue, Almut, let's quickly take a live read. Vivica University for the 2026 applications that are now extended for the Faculty of Health Sciences. Certificate for the following courses. Certificate in Health Science Foundation, Diploma in Environmental Health Science, Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing, Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health, Postgraduate Diploma in Occupational Health and Safety, Master of Science in Occupational Health and Safety, and the Master of Public Health. For more information, call 081-403-6406. Vivica University, where everyone is an achiever. So, Gen AI and the likes. But yeah, let me quickly read you this excerpt, Helmut. So, the particular statement that I just cited there was from the, just want to make sure, was from the CEO Dara Lynch from D&AD, who says, the creative industry is built on invention, finding form in the formless, turning constraints into clarity. And now, as generative AI redraws the boundaries of imagination, it is our job to meet that shift with the same creativity force we've always brought to charge, or brought to change. The concern from that particular scenario is, there's obviously one voice speaking behalf of everyone.
Yeah.
For the reason being, Helmut, okay, there was this very weird thing that used to happen in the 90s where literally the painters would hire a model and they would paint the model on their canvases.
Yeah.
Now, you don't need a model anymore.
Yeah, you can just generate that.
You can just generate it through just a prompt. There was a time where people who needed to find inspiration from various particular, obviously, architectural designs around the world, which was already designs that are there, and then trying to find designs that they can improve on from the old designs, which would literally go around, or they would Google search, or they would have to look at like Google Map or Google Street View to see, you know, what do houses look like in Namibia versus houses, let's say, in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and houses in Hamilton, New Zealand, and houses in Perth, Australia. And then that person would have to literally sit there for hours on a computer looking at all these houses. Whereas now, specifically, the generative AI can also give them a suggestion in terms of saying, hey, listen.
How about
this particular design? Yeah. You've already got these particular climatic conditions in the areas that you're searching in. How about this particular design that can feature here?
So you have targeted advertising also sneaking in there.
That too. Because one of the things that I've seen, Helmut, where I don't know if it was purposefully described this way, but what I've seen from specifically from social media companies and from mobile application technology companies, for example, like the guys that designed all the apps, is that on the one application, Pinterest is literally, firstly, it's like a meme factory, because it's like you can see it's a bunch of 19-year-olds that just went and made weird memes that actually you find very interesting and very philosophic in many cases.
Yeah.
And then you also get like wallpapers, and then you start finding designs, and then you start finding various interesting things of everyday life that you can leverage from. One of them being finding architectural design. You can find any kind of design there. And yes, it would be just one picture, but you get an idea of things. Now, the idea of generative AI is to generate something, and you just need to decide where you're going to place it as the output. So it's already giving its output because you gave an input of just this prompt.
Yeah.
Now it needs to know, where do you wish to publish this output? Are you going to put it on Shutterstock, meaning as your own personal piece of artistic work? Or are you going to share it for free on Pinterest or on some other particular online platform, for example, like, what was that one's name? DeviantArt, which was a website, which is still an example website that exists for people who literally are artists at core. They are designing something of their favorite video game characters, favorite story characters, overall just complete wonderful works of art from the get-go under various themes, under various categories. And you could literally see this. That's also how a lot of people in the video games industry got jobs for the kind of art. What do they call that? Concept art. They call it concept art. Concept art is like you're designing something specific for the task. This is not something generic. This is not, please generate me an image of the sky on this particular time frame. No, it's you have a video game project and you go like, okay, Helmut, you're the artist. Please design concept art of landscapes, of combat scenes, of dialogue scenes between the characters, and you go from there. The world is literally, literally vast, Helmut, when you look at how generative AI plays a role in the art space.
It's coming with both pros and cons.
And we're not even yet in the advertising side of things.
No, not.
We're not even there yet.
We're just still in the creative, part of things. And what I think the idea that Shutterstock is wants to go with is somewhat in comparison to a lot of Gen AI models or companies that are training their Gen AI models. They don't want to appreciate the creativity behind the output that their Gen AI is putting out.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's very easy to create an account on any Gen AI platform, and then you start using it. But the thing is, the more you use it, the more it's learning about your particular, more like whatever it is that you, whatever prompts that you're feeding in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, there's a centralized database where all these things are analyzed to see which one is actually the best one in terms of business. Because at the end of the day, you need more people to use that GenAI for you to make your money back. Now, Shutterstock is not only, I think that's where I'm looking at them now and going like, actually, this is a very brilliant, like AI, you know, GenAI companies and creatives collabo. Mm. Because you have the creatives that have the first, you know, that are the primary source of the output that the GenAI is putting out there. So the fact that it's being trained on someone's creative works, you have to, you know, you have to pay them somehow. Now, one, you have to pay them. That's what seems to be what Shutterstock is, is suggesting, and they've implemented it. One, you have to pay them, and two, you have to give them an option. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, if they don't want their works to be used to train a GenAI, just give them that option to opt out.
Yeah,
yeah. But what's happening in a lot of, especially the large language models right now, is they are just sweeping everything.
Well. Okay, with the large language guys, they start from a language primarily.
Yeah.
So they work from vocabulary, dictionaries, literature, and all that. That's where everything starts from, because that's where the training starts from.
Yeah.
With generative AI, which is sort of like the smaller function of the large language modules, large language models, is that with the Gen AI models, you're asking them something completely new.
Yeah.
So you're putting in a prompt, please draw me a girl walking on a street all by herself at 11 o'clock in the morning in, let's say, Nkurunkuru.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It might come up with a weird depiction of Nkurunkuru.
Yeah, I have no idea.
If the AI model knows where Nkurunkuru even is on the map. And
it'd be nice if it comes out with broccoli in the background. I'm just saying it'd be okay.
You don't want to leave the broccoli thing.
Nah, not a chance.
Look, it was a lovely story to tell. It is a real story to tell, but it has got the comedy is the comedy can't even be remade by an AI because it's pure gold.
It's too real, yeah.
Yeah, it's pure gold as it is. But in our conversation, what we're looking at here is one based upon the possible means by which generative AI maybe can spill over into the Namibian landscape. Now, I do feel sorry for the graphic designers. The guys that call them graphic designers.
Yeah.
The guys who thought in Namibia that they are graphic designers. Because I've seen real graphic designers. I was impressed. I mean, it's one of the things that has even...
what do you mean, real graphic designers? Our graphic designers will come here, you know, with bangers looking for you.
Look, they can come, ne? I've worked in the newspaper industry before.
Mm-hmm.
There's only two guys who I respect. Three. Four. The fourth guy actually passed away. The first three, all three of them are still alive. Yay. In that regard. But... Mm-hmm. The artistic knowledge that I learned from them, and they were guys that didn't show up there in the 80s, with any prior graphic design knowledge. They were trained on the job. The third guy literally was trained. He literally came from the art school of College of the Arts, the art and design school or department of College of the Arts, which I am very impressed with that particular institute, because we've also got a couple of colleagues that were here with us at Eagle FM that came from the radio program.
Yeah.
So the skills is very, very impressive for people that go to, for example, that particular facility versus us that come from university levels. And sometimes, for example, Hamoud, I'm sorry, you almost a UNAM guy. I've heard of the horror stories, you know, where, you sometimes sit there wondering, is this lecturer even in the right course here? But yeah, I'm sorry, I'm knocking the, you guys from the UNAMs. But anyway, so when you look at that particular picture of the skill sets of people being trained through an actual program, yes, facilities and institutes have their strengths and their weaknesses. But here's the thing of what happens to the graphic design guys. The guys that were told,
use your eyes, use your instincts, use your judgment call, use your own estimations in terms of, what do they call that thing specifically when you're designing something from scratch? It's almost like the proportions that you put to something. You know, if it's a person that you're designing, if you're using text, meaning letters, they call it, what's that term that we were taught in graphic design class? Typesetting, your kind of typesetting. And also what you call this typesetting. And all of this is a scenario of how your creativity manifests just through basic drawing. Now, what we see today is that you could literally put an AI model in front of a baby and say something, and then the baby goes gaga guga, and then just voila, there is an image of gaga guga.
And it pops up.
It pops up.
Yeah, can we just take a quick break?
Of course.
Yeah. All right.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tero ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite okoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka okone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onoreza tuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa dora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu omafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight. We're still on the wrapping things up on the subject of a creative versus a generative AI, because they are on a collision course. And two things that are being focused on by the Shutterstock guys here is that there's this generative AI models are trained on real creative works of real people that are not compensated at the end of the day, and they have basically put a system in place where they, at least they, and they're one of the very many that are, you know, that are producing these tools that that's used in creative space, which is now on a collision course with what is being produced in the real world with real artists, especially the artists or the creatives that are, you know, that are spending, that are putting in the work and putting in the sleepless nights, and that's time to produce their creative works, only to be trained on by models that are making millions, if not billions, for the companies that own that owns them, and not getting a cent at the day. At the end of the day, so. Seeing that they create this gen AI models, or basically AI models, is going to need a constant training for them to keep up with the output, you know, with the desired output at the end user side of things. It's important to basically have this conversation of either deciding, creatives getting compensation if their works are being used to train these gen AI models, or or just they give them that option to opt out if they do not want their, yeah, if they do not want their works to be used, you know, to be used in training these Gen AI models. Give them that option. I will pay you, or if you know, if you don't want me to use my Gen AI model to use your works to train my Gen AI models, just that here is a button or here is a tab that you can use to opt out.
But then they still hold on to your work.
Exactly.
While you're opting out. But yeah.
Uh-huh.
Helmut, let's quickly take a short ad break and come back. Delvitje University for the 2026 applications that are now extended for the Faculty of Health Sciences. In the following courses, Certificate in Health Science Foundation, Diploma in Environmental Health Science, Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing, Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health, Postgraduate Diploma in Occupational Health and Safety, Master of Science in Occupational Health and Safety, and Master of Public Health. For more information, call 081-403-6406. Velvica University, where everyone is an achiever. My big concern, Helmut, would be generative AI probably wouldn't creep yet into the art galleries or into the art classes on schools or on university or in institutes where they teach art and design. But generative AI would start creeping into things like movies,
yeah,
TV series, favorite video games, or even into digital, other particular digital media platforms around the world specifically that you would start liking. The other big fear is obviously how generative AI can also be used to lie.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, remember the Sudanese girl that I mentioned a little bit earlier?
Yeah.
Just...
AI-generated one.
Completely fake. And do you know what they did?
Uh-huh.
They used other people's TikToks. For example, if you were dancing in your TikTok, Helmut, the dance would be copied.
The dance moves.
The dance moves would be copied. And then pasted on your original image would be this girl doing your dance moves.
And that's
then,
what Jen...
She gets complete millions of reshares and interactions and followers.
And you, the owner... have five likes,
yeah,
and two views,
and or people are making jokes there. Look at him dance. Why is he dancing like a duck? Do ducks dance like that? And you get all kinds of name calling. And I come, it's your moves with her in her video, and she's completely fake.
I think that's this shouldn't be coming out of an organization like an organization that's already operating in the tech industry. I think this is something that should be coming out of the regulation framework. That the fact that it's coming, the fact that not just the compensation, but also the opting out of having your works being used by Gen AI is coming out of a company that operates in that same sphere shows a lack of regulation from policymakers for me.
Yeah.
Because that's the, I mean, Shutterstock is basically doing a policymaker's job. They are the ones that should be saying, you know what, if you are going to use this person's work, you have to regulate it, you have to, you know, well, you have to pay for it. This, that's someone's intellectual property.
I mean, the downside is also, Helmut, that, yes, the AI models would obviously continue learning and continue learning and continue learning and obviously continue adapting and continue adapting to improve on whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
It... In many cases, it leaves a particular big question out there for everyone else to ask in terms of how pervasive would this particular technology become?
Oh boy, don't talk about the pervasive part of it because, well, last year the South, you know, last year, I think I did a, you know, my Mind the Gap show on that. Last year, I think it was in South Korea, a lot of high schoolers were generating a lot of nudes just from pictures they pulled off.
Which are deep fakes, ne?
Exactly.
Which is the AI deep fakes.
Like, you know, they just take your face and then lump it on this picture that, the thing is there, well, a lot of people can't tell the difference. So they will think it's you that's dancing around behind naked.
And then you've never done that, but your photo features.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the downside is the elements of criminality. I mean, even the cybercrime space here in Namibia, for 2 years we were waiting on the UN guys or countries at the UN level to start talking about cybercrime development as for a global framework.
Yeah.
For us to even know where we are with cybercrime. How do things like this happen, man?
again, a regulation.
Yeah, but you can
very central.
You can literally see how slow the regulation is taking.
Yeah, it's sluggish. I mean, last year during the report that was made on our AI readiness assessment, that's one of those things that came up. The regulations are still nowhere near. Okay, they are nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that it was in a report is just shocking for me because it was that obvious. Even when they commissioned the report, they knew that we don't have the regulations. Mm. Yeah. That brings us to the end of today's home run. Until tomorrow, same time, same place. Oh, tomorrow is the 20th. Okay.
Please don't wish them, Helmut, please.
Okay, I won't today, but I will tomorrow. And tomorrow is Friday. Yo!
So unfortunately, you guys do intersect with the weekend.
Yes, chance of hearing someone is going to be broke by Monday next week.
Don't worry, guys. We will be your emotional support.
From a distance. Thank you.
Bringing you lovely conversation.
Uh-huh.
To sort of like distract you from your real world issues.
Yeah.
But on that note, guys, let's see each other again, same time, same place, tomorrow. We won't be saying catch us on the weekend yet.
No, we are going to say that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.